Good afternoon. Hope everyone is having a good day. I'm Peggy Ozias-Aiken. I'm actually with the Department of Horticulture at the University of Georgia. I'm a professor there. But I'm also incoming president of the National Association of Plant Breeders. So my objective with this short presentation is really to increase awareness of this society, which may be of particular interest to those members of ASHS who are also either geneticists or plant breeders. So I want to just briefly give you some background and history on NAPB, and also introduce you to some of our activities that we have annually, and then some of the plant breeding opportunities that we hope that we can advocate for. So what is NAPB, National Association of Plant Breeders? It's actually a fairly young society. We grew out of what is called the Plant Breeding Coordinating Committee, or PBCC. And so actually, Ksenia Gasic here, who's sitting in the audience, is, I think, the incoming chair of the PBCC. This is a multi-state project. And so I'll describe the differences between PBCC and NAPB in a minute. The first annual meeting of the PBCC was held in 2007, and it was at that time that there were some functions that PBCC really couldn't engage in that kind of spawned the development of the association, the Society for Plant Breeding. And so NAPB was actually formed in 2011, or at least the first annual meeting was held, and it was incorporated as a society in 2012. So you can see we really haven't been around that long, but we are holding this year our ninth annual meeting. So in addition to the other roles that I mentioned for myself, I'm also chair of the planning committee for this meeting because it's being held in Georgia. The society has about 400 members right now, and about a third of those are graduate students. So Ksenia has nicely demonstrated here and on her poster, which I think is number 257, if I'm correct, some of the differences between PBCC and NAPB. So NAPB is a scientific society, so in that respect, we do have some, you know, parallel interests and functions with ASHS, but we are focused really on the plant breeding and genetics. PBCC, as I mentioned, is a multi-state project, and so it really comes under the purview of the land-grant university system or the state agricultural experiment stations, and it's also managed through NEPA. And so in that respect, the membership within PBCC is determined to some extent by the state agricultural experiment stations. So there's one member that's appointed by the director of each station. Although membership is not exclusive to those people, one can request to become a member of PBCC, but it's not, you know, very well known that PBC even exists. So PBCC has fulfilled some really important roles in collecting information about plant breeding, particularly plant breeding in academic institutions, and helping to come up with recommendations to encourage funding of plant breeding, yet PBCC cannot actually be the advocacy arm or promote those recommendations to certain groups. And so that's where NAPB has an additional role, in that we can advocate for plant breeding, for funding, for, you know, sustaining academic plant breeding, and also for developing public-private partnerships. So NAPB is a professional society. We do have a membership fee. Initially, we didn't for several years, but in order to really sustain and grow the society, we do have a membership fee, but it's very reasonable. Right now, if you join in the next month, you could join for $80 for a professional membership and $35 for a student membership. That actually is going to increase, but only slightly, come September 1st. To $95 as a professional membership fee and $45 for students. So the mission, as stated here, is to strengthen plant breeding research to promote agricultural security, quality of life, and a sustainable future. As everyone, I think, knows, the population of the world is growing and predicted to reach close to 10 billion by 2050. And so plant breeding obviously has a huge role to play in feeding the world. And so NAPB has already formed a number of partnerships, some of which are shown here, and we'd really like to extend that partnership more formally to ASHS. So obviously, since we grew out of PBCC, we're still sustaining that partnership with the Plant Breeding Coordinating Committee. We also, of course, since a number of our members are from the crop sciences, we do have a partnership with the Crop Science Society of America. But we also have some members who you are very familiar with, like Ksenia or Jim McPherson, who are members of ASHS and also have been really some of the original members of NAPB as well. We do have, I think, a growing partnership with ASTA, which is the American Seed Trade Association. ASTA is actually, it's been around since the 1800s, but it's largely a consortium of industries or funded by industry memberships, and it really educates as well as advocates for the seed trade, and that's with the horticultural industry as well as the agronomic crops. ASTA also partners with Issues, Inc. Issues, Inc. It's actually a media outlet that provides information on seeds in particular, but breeding in general, particularly in the North American area. We have very close partnerships and associations with industry sponsors. Certainly all of the big industries, but many of the small breeding companies as well participate in NAPB. And so this gives our members a great opportunity for networking among public and private plant breeders. And our meetings, annual meetings, of course, allow access to cutting-edge science. We also have professional development opportunities for graduate students, but also for early career. We have an early career working group. And so these provide, in addition, leadership opportunities for those members involved in those working groups. As with most societies, we do have opportunities for award nominations and therefore recognition of accomplishments in plant breeding. And we have the opportunity for some of the more senior of us to give back, and to give back in different ways. It can be monetarily, but it could also be through mentoring of either early career or undergraduate students. So I mentioned our annual conference is one of our main activities for the year. The last one was held in August of 2018, and it was at the University of Guelph. This actually was the first conference that we had held out of the country, but that was appropriate because we have traditionally had a number of plant breeders from Canada as members of the society. This year, as I mentioned, our annual meeting is going to be in Georgia. It's going to be at Callaway Gardens right in a month from now. There is still the opportunity to register online until the 26th of August, so Friday. but even after that, registration will still be open on-site, so you're welcome to attend. We have now lined up the next 3 years of annual meetings, University of Nebraska in 2020, Cornell in 2021, and then Iowa State at 2022. So initially we had alternated back and forth between industry sponsors of the meeting and university-organized meetings. But we actually have kind of gotten away from that alternating model, in part because of the consolidation of some of the larger companies, but also because we've had a lot of interest from academic institutions in hosting this meeting as well. These are our 2018 award recipients. We do have a Lifetime Achievement Award, a Plant Breeding Impact Award, and an Early Career Scientist Award that are given annually. And once these awards are presented, these were presented at the 2018 meeting, those awardees actually are giving talks now at our 2019 meeting. So we'll be interested to hear from them and hear their perspectives on plant breeding, depending on the stage of their career. In addition, we do have a poster competition at the meeting, and we do have award recipients, graduate students. This is a graduate student poster competition. We have another program that was just implemented last year and actually was from the efforts of Don Cummings. Don is actually retired from Monsanto, and Don has invested quite a bit of his own money, I'm sure, in getting this program going, but we're also looking for anyone who wants to contribute to the endowment. And this actually is to really extend the vision of providing the sustainable flow of high potential plant science students and emerging plant breeders who can enter the professional community. It's not just private, it's also public. And so this is a Borlaug Scholar Program. The name comes with the blessing, of course, of the Borlaug Institute. And our inaugural class of scholars was in 2018. There were about 50 applicants, and 8 scholars were selected. And if you check out our booth, number 410, we do have the bios of some of those scholars from last year. This year we had 70 applicants, and we're able to actually fund 12 scholars. And so it's great that we could get the number up to 12. That still makes it highly competitive, but it's something that anyone can apply to who is not only a graduate student, but even undergraduate. So it's open to both undergraduates and graduates. So if you know of any undergraduates who are really thinking about a career in plant breeding, this would give them the opportunity to investigate learning some of the science and then also networking with industry and other academic groups. So the program funds the travel of the student to the meeting, but it also pairs them with a mentor. They're paired actually before the meeting starts, and sometimes, in most cases, they do already make connection before the meeting starts. And in many cases, that mentor-mentee relationship even continues after the meeting ends. I know of some that have continued throughout this past year and probably will even be lifelong. So I think it's a really excellent concept, excellent program that Don has started. And of course, we understand that increasing plant breeding capacity is going to be essential to feeding the world. And so there are many ways that we need to try to support this in terms of germplasm collections and exchange. And that we need to reach out into more diversity in many cases to enhance our access to different traits that are needed to enhance the production of different crops. And in addition, the public-private partnerships will be extremely valuable as well. And so the Plant Breeding Coordinating Committee and members of that committee, as well as members of ASHS, have actually developed surveys to try to gauge the capacity that we have at this point in the U.S. and to help us learn how we need to advocate for additional plant breeding capacity. And so this is just an example of one of the publications that was authored by Julie Dawson, along with others, Bill Tracy, on germplasm exchange and, of course, the impact of intellectual property rights. And so it's understood that in public breeding programs, there is a lot of sharing of germplasm. Certainly, intellectual property rights have an advantage in terms of returning royalties to a breeding program, but sometimes it might also impede that sharing. And so we have to learn ways that can be structured so that progress in plant breeding can continue. Also, our germplasm collections, certainly in the U.S., are national treasures. The U.S. is probably the only country that still freely shares the germplasm from its collections to any country in the world that requests it and can provide the import permit. And so we recognize that there are major gaps in the germplasm collections. There's still a lot of information that needs to be acquired about the materials in these collections. But even more so, the people that are managing these collections, many of them are retiring, and so there's really no training for students to help them learn how to manage these collections most efficiently. And so this is something that Pat Byrne has been pretty passionate about, trying to determine what training opportunities might be valuable and could be used to strengthen the public support for the National Plant Germplasm Collections. So the public-private partnerships I've mentioned several times, we do feel that those are very valuable. Certainly in the public sector, we're more on the this continuum, starting with genetic resource characterization or pre-breeding or germplasm enhancement, and the private sector, of course, is more on that continuum of cultivar development and commercialization, although depending on the crop, that may also, in some cases, be in the public sector. So we would really like to involve ASHS in this circle of partnerships with NAPB so that we actually can expand our impact more into the horticultural sector. So obviously plant breeding is innovative, but plant breeding takes time. We're certainly helping to speed that up with all of the modern genomic tools that are becoming available, not only to agronomic crops, but now I've seen here there's a lot of horticultural crops. It's becoming even more available. So it's incremental, but we're moving at a much faster pace, and that's going to be necessary. Any questions, comments? Corrections, Ksenia. Okay, well, I thank you for your attention.